Well, last Sunday we began a new sermon series. We're calling it The Road to the Cross. The Road to the Cross. If you were here last week, you remember that we really emphasized bringing others to the cross. That's the greatest concern of hell. It's the greatest joy of heaven. It's the greatest responsibility that we have here on earth is bringing others to the cross of Jesus. And again, as we've been talking already this morning, focusing on Easter that's coming up here in just a few weeks, what a great opportunity to invite people to come to church on a Sunday that a lot of people naturally choose to come to church anyhow. Last week, we filled out those prayer cards. We gave you the invite cards. If you didn't get a chance to do that, I just want to re-encourage you, as Caleb already has, fill those out. It's not too late to add your names to the cross up here. We've been praying over those. In fact, what I want us to do, let's just pause right here in this service. We've been asking you to pray every day and ask the Lord to draw those people, prepare their hearts, give you that opportunity to invite them. But will you just stretch out your hands right now with me toward the cross, and let's just pray for all the names of those that are here. Lord, we do. God, every name on this cross is somebody that you created with purpose and destiny. And Lord, it's your will that none of them should perish, but everyone would know you as Lord and Savior and experience the joy that comes in serving you and experience eternal life with you. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would prepare their hearts to receive the seed, the invitation that we want to give to them. Lord, we pray for everyone who wrote these names down and placed these cards on the cross. Lord, that you would help us to do our part. Lord, we're not putting it all on you and saying, God, if that's what you want to do, you take care of it. Lord, you invited us to be a part of gathering this harvest in. And so, Lord, we're going to do our part. We're going to be the laborers in the fields, Lord, that you've asked for. We'll invite them. We'll pray for them. We're going to do everything we can to bring them and to set them up to have an encounter with you. And so, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in these lives, what you're going to do on Easter Sunday here at Spirit Life Church. And for that, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that's what we looked at last week. Next Sunday, I'm going to be looking at the three crosses that were on the hillside that day when Jesus was crucified. It wasn't just one cross that were there. There were three crosses, and there's some significance in all three of those crosses. So I hope you'll come back next Sunday and that you'll invite someone to come with you. I believe it'll be an encouraging word. Today, I don't want to talk about somebody else's cross. Today, I'm not here to talk about necessarily Jesus' cross. Today, I want to talk about your cross. Your cross. Go with me to Mark chapter 8 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 through 37. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at the disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross." Say that with me. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Billy Graham used to say, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. That's really what we want to talk about today. That's really what Jesus is addressing today. He's not just talking about salvation. He's not just talking about a decision. He's talking about becoming a true disciple. And he's saying that there is a cost. There's a price to be paid if we're really going to be followers of Jesus. I'm reminded of the story of the farmer and the animals in the barnyard who were thankful that they had a good farmer who loved them, who took care of them, who provided for them. He feeds us every day. It doesn't matter what the weather is. He's always there protecting us. And they said, you know, we want to do something special to let the farmer know how much we appreciate all he does for us. Why don't we all chip in and we'll provide him a meal? And the cow said, I understand that. I'll provide the milk. And the chicken, you know, she got in on the action, says, I'll provide the eggs. And then they all looked at the pig. And they said, how about some bacon? And the pig, he's thinking, he's out there, he said, whoa. He says, for you guys, it's just a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. See, what Jesus is asking from us is not just a pour some milk and crack a few eggs. Jesus is asking us to put some bacon in the pan. Jesus is saying to us, I'm asking you, if you're going to be my follower, I'm asking you to deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow me. You know, if you, well, not anymore, because the stadiums are pretty much empty, but, you know, in years past, and hopefully in years to come, we'll see the stadiums full again. There was always the guy in the end zone holding the John 3:16 sign, right? Always the guy with the John, because we love John 3:16. It talks about God loving us so much that he gave his son to die for us so that we can have the gift of eternal life. That's good news, a message of salvation. But you're never going to find anybody in the crowd holding up a Mark 8:34 sign saying, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anybody wants to really follow after me, deny himself, take up a cross, die daily, and follow me. I want to dissect that verse with you for the next few minutes, just kind of breaking it down word by word, phrase by phrase. And the first important word that I come to is the word anyone. Anyone. If anyone would follow me, Jesus said. That's an open invitation to anyone. You know what the word anyone in the Greek means? Anyone. Yeah. That's what it means. Anyone. It doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are, how we label people, anyone. So who's really qualified to follow after Jesus? Anyone. Wait a minute. Does it matter what kind of a sexual past that they've had? Anyone. What about those who have committed crimes and spent some time in prison? Anyone. How about those who've had a failed marriage? Anyone. Your kids rebelled? Anyone. How about those who are caught up in all kinds of addictions in your life, whether it be to drugs or alcohol or pornography, whatever it might be? How about those folks? Anyone. Aren't you glad today that it is an open invitation for anybody to come to Jesus? So that's the first phrase that I want you to see. The second phrase is these words, wants to be my follower. If anyone wants to be my follower, to me that speaks of a passionate pursuit. It's a decision, it's a step to enter into salvation, but it's a journey to be a disciple. You got to be a follower. If you're going to be a follower, you're going to have to take more than one step. If I'm going to follow you and you walk out of this building, I can't just stand here. Listen, Jesus isn't asking us to stand in the church or to sit in a pew. Jesus is asking us to be his follower, to follow him wherever he's leading us throughout our lives, to be a follower. It's a passionate pursuit. Jesus tells a parable that I think that really helps us to understand what it is to passionately pursue after Jesus. It's a parable that's found in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field again. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and he bought it. In Bible times, it was a common thing for people to bury their money, their savings, whatever, in the ground. There weren't banks and ATMs available on every corner. So that's the best way that they had. And Jesus tells a story about a man who's one day digging in a field that doesn't belong to him. And we don't know why he's there. Jesus doesn't try to explain it. I don't know if he got hired to come and do some work on the man's property. But in the process of digging, he uncovers a buried treasure that nobody knew was there. He looks around and realizes nobody's seen what he's found, and so he quickly reburies the treasure. And then he leaves, and he goes, and he sells everything that he's got, Jesus says. I mean, he's having yard sales. He's doing everything to get all the cash that he could possibly get. His family's probably looking at him like, what is wrong with you? You're crazy. What is it? You want this piece of land that bad? I don't even think it's worth that much. And the guy's like, I just got to have that piece of land. He finally goes to the man who owns the land. He says, look, I want to buy that land that you've got. And the man's like, well, I'm offering you everything that I've got. And the guy that owns the land is looking at it going, man, that's a good deal for me. That's three times more than I paid for it. Sure, I'll take it. He's glad to get it, and the man is glad to buy it for everything that he has because he knows what's buried there. He knows what's hidden there. He knows he's found something that's there that's worth 10 times more than what he has paid for the land, and he's excited to get it. And Jesus says, that's the way it is when people find me. When you find me, when you discovered me, I am the pearl of great price. There's another parable there where a guy finds this great pearl. He's willing to sell everything in order to have that one. I am the buried treasure. I'm the greatest thing that you could have. And we who are the disciples of Jesus, now, when we're talking about taking up a cross and dying to ourselves and all of that, that self-denial, that sounds like, well, that's not a fun thing to do. And yet we've found the buried treasure. And we know that whatever it costs us to follow Jesus, whatever it is that he asks of us, it is far more than worth it. And so that brings us to the third phrase, and this is, he must deny himself. If anyone would be my follower, he must deny himself. That's a total surrender. You can't follow Jesus without denying yourself. It's impossible. You're either going to serve yourself, you're going to serve what you want, or you're going to serve Jesus. But God says you can't serve both. You're going to one or the other. He makes it very clear. It's a black and white decision that we have to come to. And the idea of denying ourselves, that's not really popular. I mean, you're probably not going to fill stadiums of people saying, hey, everybody that wants to deny themselves, come join me tonight. It's never been popular. It's never been what people wanted to do to deny themselves, but especially today. I mean, we're living in a world of it's all about me. It's all about make me happy and do everything you can to take care of me. And even in the church culture, it's all about I'm coming to church so you can bless me and make me happy and do all the stuff that I want to do. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not about bless me, it's deny yourself. There's another phrase that we hear an awful lot lately. That's this new phrase that's come out in the last year or so, cancel culture. Boy, that really describes where we live as a nation. Cancel culture. It's not enough that I don't like what you're doing. I don't have to even tolerate it. I don't have to experience. I don't want to have to hear it, see it. I just cancel you and get rid of you because I want it to all be about me and what makes me happy. And in a world of cancel culture, in a world of self-aggrandizement, we hear Jesus say, you've got to deny yourself. Maybe the story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 19 would help us to understand what he's really asking of us. We read the story of the man who's called the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I want to have eternal life. What do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, the first thing I want you to do is would you be willing to just keep the commandments, the law, the prophets? And the guy says, I've done all of that. From the time I was a youth all the way up, I've kept all those commandments. And Jesus says, then here's what you need to do. Sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Sounds kind of like deny yourself, take up a cross, and come follow me. It's the same principle, what Jesus is saying. And that man is faced with a choice in his life, a decision. Am I going to really get rid of everything that I thought was valuable, everything that I've worked for, everything that I've strived? Am I willing to give up everything that represents who I am? Am I willing to die to all of that in order to follow Jesus? And unfortunately, The scripture says that that man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He felt like the price was too much to pay somehow. He didn't understand that it was a great deal that Jesus was offering to him. Listen, I want to tell you, every one of us are brought to that place in our life. You say, yeah, it would be easy for me to sell everything I got, Pastor, because I ain't got very much. Listen, it's not about money. It really wasn't about money for the rich young ruler. It's about his heart. That's really what it was about. It was about his heart. It was about what's really important to you. Are you willing to give up the stuff that you think is important in order to serve me and my kingdom? Or are you going to be the king sitting on the throne of your own life? Jesus is like, there's no room for two kings to sit on that one throne. Either it's going to be you or it's going to be me. Which is it going to be? He's saying that we need to pursue him with all that we've got. There's no way that we could possibly really serve Jesus without denying ourselves and letting him be Lord, letting him be ruler, letting him be master. That's a word that we really don't use a lot because it sounds like master and slave. Well, actually, that's what Jesus is talking about. Yeah, I'm the master, you're the slave, you're the servant. We're like, wait a minute, I don't want to be anybody's slave. I don't want to be anybody's servant. Well, until you realize who your master is. See, it's a pretty good deal. Because the master that I'm talking about is the master who owns everything. And he's able to provide everything in your life that you need. The master that I'm talking about is a master who's filled with grace and mercy and love. And he loves you with everything. The master that I'm talking about is able to take care and protect you of everything that the enemy would try to bring into your life to destroy you. The master that I'm talking about doesn't even call you servant. He says, I've called you sons and daughters. Because that's the relationship that I want us to have. It's not about serving me out of obligation. I want you to know how much I love you. And I'm willing to take care of you in every need in your life. Which brings us to the final challenge. And that is that last phrase, take up your cross. Luke shares the same story. He adds an extra word in Luke 9:23. He says, take up your cross daily. This is a daily death that Jesus is asking of us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, some of you would recognize the name, is a German theologian. He died as a martyr, killed by the Nazis in Germany. And here's a statement that he made. He says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So here we go. Everybody is willing to come and die. Step toward the front. You're not moving very fast. I really didn't think you would. Because it seems like such a thing. Whoa, I'm not ready to die yet. I got some living yet to do, Pastor Tommy. I'm not talking about giving up the breath, the heartbeat. I'm talking about die to yourself. Die to your ideas and your way of thinking and saying, no, what matters is what does Jesus say? I'm willing to do what Jesus says. Here's Jesus saying, if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross, Jesus? No, just think about it. Nobody's at this point mentioned anything about the cross being associated with following Jesus. Right? This is the first time Jesus is springing this on the disciples. Take up the cross. Now, when we hear the word cross, we think of nice little pretty crosses. We hang them on our chain and have a necklace, or maybe we put them on an ornament on the wall or what have you. That's not how the people of that day heard him, because they'd seen the crosses. They'd seen the occupation of the Romans, and what they would do is they would line the streets and people would be there hanging days after day until they finally succumbed to the cross. They knew the horrible, agonizing death that it was. And so for them, the cross was the most revolting thing that they could imagine. I don't want to take up a cross. I don't want anything to do with the cross. Think of it this way. If you were in corporate America and you were in a business meeting and you're getting ready to print your new business cards, and you got to come up with a logo, you got to come up with your design, you got to have your brand, and you're in the room and somebody says, I'll tell you what, let's brand this thing with an electric chair, let's put a gallows as our logo for our business. That's what Jesus is literally saying about this enterprise, this kingdom that he's establishing, about Christianity. He's saying we're going to put the cross as our emblem, sign of death. I can imagine the disciples going, huddle, Jesus, huddle. Hold on, let's come over to the side for a moment. We want to pitch another idea with you. You know, instead of that cross thing, that's kind of gross and morbid, and people are not probably going to follow you about a cross. How about this? Could we make it the dove? Can we make it the dove? You know, because the dove is a symbol of peace, right? And Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace, right? So how about if we say, just, you know, everybody get a dove and follow me? Jesus says, no, it's not a dove. Somebody said, I got it. Let me pitch you another idea. How about this? What if we went with the rainbow? I mean, it's so full of many colors, and it's pretty, and it'll fit on all of our stationery. I mean, you can stretch it, make it big, wide. I mean, it'll work. I think the rainbow is a great idea. And I mean, think about the symbolism of the rainbow. It's about God that's faithful, and he keeps his promises. Jesus, that's who you are. You're faithful, and you keep your promises. I think we ought to go with the rainbow idea. Everybody, you know, take up your rainbow and follow me. Jesus says, no, it's not about rainbows. Okay, I got one more idea. Let's try this one more. How about the shepherd's staff? Can we go with the shepherd's staff? I mean, because the shepherd's staff, it symbolizes, I mean, you're the good shepherd, and you take care of us, and you provide for us, and you lead us. I think the shepherd's staff, and you can even say, take up your shepherd's staff. You know, that even sounds good. You know, take up your shepherd's staff and follow me. Jesus says, this isn't about rainbows and doves and shepherd's staffs. Let's take up your cross and follow me. He's talking about dying to ourselves. He's talking about total surrender. You know, there's the chorus. It's an old chorus now. I surrender all. I think some folks would kind of rewrite it and, I surrender some. I surrender some. Some of the things that I don't really like in my life now, I surrender. But all the other stuff that I really like, I want to keep it all. Jesus says, no, it's I surrender all. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, would say, I die daily. He got it. He said, on another occasion, he says, nevertheless, it's not I that live, it's Christ that's living in me. I'm a dead man. Dead men don't have rights. Dead men don't fight for things. Dead men just let Christ live in them. And that's what he's saying. He's saying every morning when we crawl out of bed, we need to crawl back up on the cross and die to ourselves and our ambition and say, today, Lord, belongs to you. Live in me. Jesus doesn't end it on a negative note. He gives us the why behind all of this. Look at verse 35. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. I want to tell you today, what Jesus said is true. That if you pursue your life and your thing and your want and your wishes and your way, when you come to the end of this life, you're going to find out that you lost. You lost it all. You lost everything that was important. And it won't really even matter what you thought you gained in this life. You'll realize I lost. Jesus says, if you will give up on your life and devote yourself to following after me, you're going to get all the stuff that you want. The peace that you're looking for, the joy that you're looking for, the fulfillment, the happiness, all the things that you really want, that you think that will make life good, that you've been pursuing in all the wrong directions. If you'll give up on all of that and just follow after me, you'll find every bit of that in me. And that is good news. Would you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, because you love us so much today. Lord, you've made a big ask. But Lord, you made a big give. Your ask may be big, but your give is far bigger. And we thank you for all that you offer to us as we follow after you. If I was to sum up my message today with two questions, it would be these two questions. Question number one is, who can be my disciple? And the answer to that is anyone, everyone. Everybody in here qualifies. No matter how good or how bad your life has been, you qualify. The second question would be, what will it cost to be my disciple? Again, one word answer. It's everything. It's everything. But if you'll give up everything, Jesus will give you back far more than you could have ever dreamed possible. I want to ask, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to speak to those that are in the room and those who are watching online right now, because there could well be some folks that you're looking at this thing going, man, this has been kind of a hard message, but I get it. I'm tired of my life going the way that it's going. I'm tired of trying and failing. I've tried to find joy. I've tried to find peace. I've tried to find happiness, and I've lost it, and I'm miserable, and I'm ready for a change. And if what it means is I've got to die in order to really live, if I've got to die to myself and all of that and live for Jesus, and he's going to give me everything that I need, I'm ready to sign up for that. I'm ready to make a decision to follow Jesus. If that's where you are this morning, you are ready. You came into this place lost. You came into this place without any hope of eternal life. But you're ready to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to surrender your life, to fully commit to following him, whatever it costs you, for the rest of your life. If that's a decision you're ready to make, I want you to raise your hand, because I want to pray for you right now. And we're going to be welcoming you into the kingdom of God. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there somebody else? You're ready to make that decision. I'm ready to surrender it all to you today in order to receive the eternal life that you want to give from me. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. Anybody else? There's been at least one hand lifted. I just want to pause for another moment. Anybody else? The Holy Spirit speaking to you. I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Right, I want us to pray right now. And whether you raised your hand or not, if you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, this is your opportunity. Would you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I confess that I am a sinner and I'm lost without you. But I believe that you died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin, so that I could have the gift of everlasting life. I'm willing to die to myself so that I can live for you, so that you can live in me. So come, live in me now. I invite you into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to welcome you into the family of God. The rest of you aren't off the hook, because there's some others of you who, you are disciples of Jesus. You've been living for the Lord for a while, but it might be that the Lord is speaking to you right now. God wants to ask you a question. Maybe there's an area in your life that the Lord's wanting to put his finger on and say, that is a surrender some part. That's not a surrender all. That is you still trying to live to yourself instead of dying to yourself and living for me. And we need to talk about it. So would you just give the Lord a moment to speak to you right now? Holy Spirit, in the stillness of this moment, God, we recognize that you ask a lot, but you give so much more. Lord, some of us have made a decision to be a Christian, but we're holding back on some stuff. We haven't died out to everything. We've really not placed ourselves on the cross. Lord, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to say to us right now? We're listening, Lord. And in this moment, we say yes. In this moment, that thing that you are asking of us to do, that thing that you want to remove out of our lives forever, because it stands between us and your perfect will. Whatever it is that you're saying right now, in this place, in this moment, we say yes. We say yes. We say yes. Help us to die to all the things that are hindering us from fully living in all you have for us. In Jesus' name. I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me at the front. And as we are dismissed today, if you have a need for anything in your life, you're struggling with something, or maybe you're concerned about somebody else, and you just want a prayer partner, somebody to stand with you and agree, we are ready to pray with you. God bless you, and we'll see you again next Sunday here at Spirit Life Church.